Well, hello and welcome to the Music and Ministry Podcast. We are so excited that you joined us for what I believe is going to be a great edition of our podcast, because today we are going to talk about how sometimes it's hard to remember how challenging things can be, even though they are actually very simple. And what I mean by that are those things that, you know, you and I will take for granted or assume that everybody knows about, but can actually be really hard to figure out if someone hasn't showed you. And this is especially evident when you have children, because you are constantly having to teach them everything. Like, don't touch that fire, and no, you cannot eat mud, and so on and so on. And that's part of the joy of being a parent, is showing them all of those things. But you can also start to assume that because they know one thing, that maybe they don't know something else. Like, well, I told you you can't eat mud, but I also didn't tell you that, hey, you probably shouldn't eat rocks. And maybe one of the best examples I can give to you was when we found out the difference between being able to read and being able to write. And that's because both of my children are great readers, you know, way above their grade level, and can consume large books in one setting. And so we were excited, proud parents, and then were completely shocked when we came to find out that their ability to write, or really even to spell, was shockingly not at the same level. Like, not even close. Which, you know, they're reading an entire book but can't spell a majority of the words. And we were just completely ignorant to the fact that those are two separate skills, even though you would think they would be related. And then it made us realize, hey, we've got some work to do. And so we would have them write more often and play games like Scrabble or Boggle or Bananagrams, which is like freeform Scrabble. And our boys are getting pretty good at it and will every once in a while beat us, which, you know, we don't need to talk too much about. So I say all of that to talk about our role as leaders, because certainly in life in general, but specifically when it comes to worship teams or churches, we are called to develop people, to do what the Bible calls make disciples. And really, the Bible talks about the main job of what is called the fivefold ministry: pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and apostles. Their job is to equip the saints to do work of ministry. That really their purpose isn't to do the ministry, but rather it's to get other people trained and for them to be able to do the ministry. And that can be a bit of a different approach than some churches take, because a lot of times they'll just say, hey, we pay you as the minister to do the ministry, and we as the members attend the ministry to be ministered to by you, the ministers. And what's interesting about that style is that it puts a different set of personal qualities at the forefront of importance for ministers. And usually that's the person's ability to do the given task. That's what qualifies them to be able to get that job in ministry, how good they preach or how good they sing. But what is often then an afterthought is how good are they at developing people. And certainly you can think about in the worship world, you know, how is a worship leader chosen? Often they're the most musically talented person in the church. And that's not to diminish people's talent or to say that those things don't have their importance. But one of the things that we have seen in all of our travels and then teaching at various conferences, and this is somewhat of a bold statement, is that I believe that most worship teams across the planet are struggling right now because we have focused too much on how well we do the tasks and not on how well we get others to do the tasks well. And in the role that we have in the lives of so many churches, you know, we're constantly reminded of that, as so many worship leaders that we talk to are in this constant search for more people or feel like they don't have enough people. And many take a posture of just kind of waiting for the perfect person to suddenly decide to start attending their church. And, you know, that person that will be fully submitted to the vision and their leadership and just is dying to be a part of what they're doing. But in reality, they just kind of keep waiting, because that doesn't happen very often. Or what a lot of people have started to do is just start replacing the people that they don't have with a computer by using multi-tracks or something similar to that. And really, the number one reason that I hear from people of why they're using those things is because they don't have the people. Now, why is that? Well, a lot of people will say, well, it's based on our population and that the church here is just really small, or that the people just aren't that into music where we live. Or, and I'm just gonna throw this out there, maybe the real reason that we don't have the people that we need is simply because we need to get better at developing people. All right, there I said it. Cat's out of the bag. Now, I know that's a bit of a bold statement, but I can say that because the last 7 years of traveling to help worship teams have taught me this. The people you need are usually already there. They're just undeveloped. And that may be undeveloped in a few ways. One way that they may be undeveloped is that they may not know that they're a great bass player simply because they've never tried the bass or the piano or whatever it is that you're looking for. Now, that's a talent thing. And it also might be undeveloped in that they're insecure about being a part of the team, or maybe that they have some selfishness that they need some discipleship to get past, or it really could be any number of things. But what I really want to encourage you today is to devote yourself to learning how to develop others, which is something that I had to learn because I was not good at it at all. I would say I was a professional doer in my 20s. And part of that was because I could learn how to do it. I liked learning how to do new things, and then I could get it done right up until I had so much going on that I couldn't get it all done because I was too busy and it would all come crashing down. And that happened a lot, but probably one of the most telling moments of this was when I was youth pastor and I had put a ton of work into organizing this huge costumes and candy night, which was kind of like our Halloween alternative, and had bought all this candy, designed all these games, had all of these great plans, and it was going great. And we had a ton of kids show up, and I was running around like a chicken with their head cut off, going as fast as I could, trying to keep up with all that I had prepared and planned, and I just could not do it. I could not move quick enough. Now, what is somewhat striking is that I also had a pretty large team of youth staff, and they kept coming to me and asking me, how can I help you? How can I help you? But what was sad was that I was too busy to even stop and tell them, and I had not talked with them about what we were doing at all, and so I would have to take time to explain what to do and where things were, and so I would just say, as I would kind of stare at them blankly, with my mind running 1,000 miles a minute, I just have to go do it, and then I would race off and go for it. And this was kind of maddening to everybody, and then somebody decided it would be funny to throw a piece of candy at me. And then when it hit me in the face, I pretty much just lost it. And then I partly flipped out, and really part of the plan just went out the window. And all of this could have been avoided. But what the problem was that I was not good at developing the people around me. I was good at doing. So it took a few humbling experiences like this to find out that I needed to really change my approach to ministry. But I can tell you that once I started to make those adjustments, things just kept getting better and better and better, to the point that sometimes everything was covered by my team and really I had nothing to do other than just show up. And the quality of ministry was just as high, if not better, and I'm happy to report was a lot better for my sanity. So in an episode filled with bold statements, here is another one. I would say that a true mark of a great minister is not how well they do something, but how well they get other people to do something well. So lots of quotable, tweetable comments here today, but back to my original opening statements and talking about how simple things can be confusing unless you know what to do, because it is so easy to get lost in the thousands of possibilities because of the mystery of it all, you know, in lots of ways. And I can't tell you how many times we've gone into a church that was desperately looking for a piano player, but hadn't found one. You know, some of them would even have a keyboard set up, waiting for that right person to suddenly start attending the church. So when we run into these situations, often it's during our training sessions, and I'll just ask, hey, has anyone ever played this instrument? And for a piano, I will ask, have you ever played or have you ever taken a piano lesson? Now, this one time in Illinois, 3 people raised their hand. 3. Now, this was also one of the places that had a keyboard already set up. Now, usually we'll find one, but 3 kind of threw me by surprise, especially given the fact that there's a keyboard already set up. So I'm wondering, man, what is the disconnect here from you all play and there's a keyboard? What's the problem? So I'm going to give you 3 things that were true in this case, and I believe are true for a lot of different people, and they were this. The first one was that they partially didn't have the confidence to participate. Now, that is a huge key to developing people. They didn't have the confidence to participate. The second one was that they didn't know how to work the equipment. And this is also extremely important to note. Then lastly, they were not sure what to play. And rather than trying, they actually just were the backup singers. And my question in these situations is, how long has this gone on and how long would it have gone on? The church that's praying for piano players with piano players already on the worship team. Now, what may be surprising to you is that I've come to find that is actually pretty normal. Now, back to our original point, this is somewhat crazy because playing piano in a worship band can be one of the easiest things to do once you know how. And so I took a quick look at their keyboard and found a setting, a very basic setting of a piano with a pad sound layered underneath. Now, when I did this, the entire worship team started freaking out and saying how that's the sound we've been looking for. And then I gave a 5-minute lesson of, hey, put your right hand on these two notes and don't move it the entire song. And this created even greater excitement as the band began to play the song with huge smiles on their faces. And then we were able to work with the other two and had very similar results. And then even took their playing to the next level, which was, hey, they changed the chord in their left hand with just one finger, which is so simple, but yet it sounded great in what they were doing. And everybody walked away just super excited that, hey, they had no piano players and now they have three. So I hope that inspires you today. And we're going to continue to share with you all the things that we've learned and are learning, really about just how to lead people to be awesome. Well, that is all the time that we're going to take for today. But if there's anything we can do for you, please don't hesitate to ask. And want to encourage you to go to musicandministry.co and check out all of the resources that we have, including quite a few videos about various subjects. And certainly subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. Well, until next time, have a fantastic week and God bless.